Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are doing a sermon rewind, that's right, of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center here in San Bernardino. And we are so grateful for you all. We have been going into each week as we are going line upon line in the book of Romans. And we're just rewinding and finding out what nice jewels or questions we can even take. And we're hearing some great feedback from you all. So we're always grateful as you share, like, encourage us when you see us here at church, or comment right there in the comment section. So again, we're grateful. Stay tuned all the way through as we start our conversation today. My name is Antonio.
I'm Pastor Dan.
And we are so grateful. I don't know what time of the year you are watching this. If you're watching this as this comes out, we are at the end, coming towards the end of the year, November of 2024. And it is
that's a crazy thought in itself.
To look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's a crazy thought, though. You think about it. The year's almost over. Yeah. And it's funny that you say that when they're watching, because we could be speaking to people from the future.
That is a trippy thought.
That's kind of a trippy thought, too.
I have watched stuff like past.
Yeah.
It's time.
For sure. Wow. So, but in this season, a lot of traditions.
Yeah.
Pastor Jessica's birthday's coming up.
That's right.
You know, she's at the end of November there, and this year it lands on Thanksgiving Day, so Thanksgiving traditions and Christmas traditions and church is starting to get decorated, all that good stuff. So
GNO is right around the corner.
I mean, the song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, is actually very appropriate because some people just love this time.
Yep.
I mean, they want to do the cookies, they want to do the shopping, they want to do the movies, they want to do it all.
Well, did you hear about the study that came out recently?
I did not.
That those who decorate early, however you might feel about that,
which, can I just include a little fact in here? I already have 3 Christmas trees up in my home.
and counting.
At the time of this recording.
Okay, and there's going to be more.
I mean, the kids will probably put the little ones up in their room. So if you count those as trees, but like legit trees too.
Yeah.
Like medium additional tree one, so 3, you know.
And then one of the each bedroom.
And then the kids will, you know, it could be another 2 or 3 that go up.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the Roth household... And mostly it's not the Roth side that does that, because my family was like one tree.
Yeah.
You know,
live one. You probably did live ones.
Yeah.
Or did you do we grew up doing live. I feel like it was more of a 90s.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
As much as I remember, it was a live tree. So I wasn't involved in that as much as like my dad, you know.
Yeah, he'd go
the
out
man
it.
Thing is
yeah,
to
right.
pull the tree in and out. So yeah, I think it was live.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing it on the lawn after, you know, laying out there waiting to be picked up. So
dead.
Live always
as
smells
of this
good.
Recording, I
so the study, the people that
that's right, they're happier.
See,
the people that put their
and my wife is a happy wife and happy wife, happy life.
Come on, they're just happier people. You can get mad at the study if you want. You can confront. I mean,
well, that's why they're mad, is because they haven't decorated yet.
Bah humbug to them.
That's right.
Speaking of bah humbug,
hey,
Christmas movies,
one of the traditions.
That is one of the I always look at the schedule of Christmas releases. Because now, you know, Netflix and some of the streaming services put out their own originals, but there's also some of the classics.
Classics, man. That's
are you more
go.
Of a classics or
totally.
Like a new?
Okay. Oh, totally classic.
Okay. What are some of the?
Gosh, man, favorites? I was literally just crying,
like
little tears streaming down my face, like and trying to be like a man about it too.
Right.
You know, we're like just you kind of move your glasses and act like you're itching your eye and you're just wiping away tears on the side.
Is this one of like the Hallmark or one of the?
You don't cry at Hallmark movies. Come on.
That's
come
true.
On,
I don't think I've ever. You get a good laugh.
Yeah. Oh, there went
but
your
never,
ears.
Never. You're not gonna really ever get a tear out of a.
No. I mean, I'm not gonna cry over the fact that they saved the cookie factory. You know, it's like just.
Why did you actually say a real plot of?
Well, because they're all the same, right? We've got to save the cookie factory, and then the person from out of town, whether it's
that's
the woman or the man, they sometimes switch that up, is in from out of town on another thing, but then they find love along the way of saving the cookie
hometown
factory.
And
now,
back for the
mark my words,
yeah.
Every single one, the good ones at least, every single one, they end the same way, outside, under the twinkle lights, with a kiss.
Yeah. With snow falling or something? That varies.
Depends,
sometimes
snow. Bit, I mean, that's an added touch, but those three elements outside, under the twinkle lights,
right,
having a kiss.
And then scene. But that's not one of your favorite.
No, that's stuff you don't cry over. That's stuff that you just mock on your way through the living room while your wife and your
and
daughter
you
are watching
a podcast
it.
And talk about how
cool there you go. No, literal tears over It's a Wonderful Life.
You know, I had a feeling.
I mean, come on.
My dad, he'd like.
Did you guys watch that one?
When I first got married,
she'd never seen it.
Had never seen it, and he was like, you have to sit down and watch this
movie. Yeah, no, and it had to be like a serious moment, yeah, right? Like, you have to sit down.
No, my dad had to sit down. It was.
Did he do popcorn in that, at least?
Yeah, no, okay. We'd sit down and watch popcorn, and it was the whole thing.
I mean, but that storyline, though, you think about the significance of a life. Like, right. And here's what broke me this time. Like, because, I mean, there's been different things each time, you know. Right. But this one was like, because you weren't there to save your brother. He wasn't there to save the whole platoon. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, just like the significance of one life. We think, man, all I did was this one little thing. I mean, somewhere that's going to get preached. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just like the impact. And I know people have preached it about the guy that, you know, Mordecai Ham preached and Billy Graham got saved and that sort of a thing. You know, here he is, this one kid gets saved. But then if Mordecai Ham wasn't there.
Right. Yeah,
where's the millions of people that Billy Graham preached to and they got saved under his ministry and all that kind of stuff? It's just like that
it spoke to you different this time around.
It hit. It just that thought hit this time around.
No, I love a good Christmas movie, and I have some. What was yours you were mentioning, Ian?
We're talking to the guy behind the camera now. Ian likes Christmas with the Cranks.
Christmas with the Cranks. I can't lie. I've probably watched it just a couple times.
So I was
like
saying
in my regular rotation
before the podcast. I was saying those types of movies drive me nuts. Like there's a scene where there's a ham rolling down the street and the car runs and I just I can't. I'm just like I got
too much going on.
It drives me crazy. Yeah. I don't know if it's like the perfectionist in me or what, but it's like.
Yeah.
The fact that they just can't get a ham, number one, and then the fact that it's rolling down the street after they got it, and then the fact that it gets run over. I mean, just everything going wrong. I don't know.
Now, here's a real question. How many times a season do you watch Home Alone? Or is it just once? Or is that an annual thing for you?
So my kids,
I'm assuming it's an annual thing, but
my kids, they'll pull it out about annually.
Yeah.
I don't, like you said, sit down and watch it at all.
Okay.
No, there's a couple that I do. There's obviously It's a Wonderful Life. White Christmas is definitely on the list.
You know, that was a newer one for me.
Is that a newer one, even though it's an older one?
Yeah, I recently watched for the first time maybe two Christmases ago.
Okay.
But now it's an annual.
It's a good one. I mean, that's a legit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like that one.
You got it all in that one. Love, song,
you got
dance.
The twin sister. Sister. Yeah, anyways.
I feel like Bob Hope. And the other one's The Elf.
That's right. That's an annual.
I think like The Elf, man, is the funniest. It actually one of the funniest movies. Not just Christmas genre. Like
classic lines from there.
Oh my gosh! Because it'll be like any month of the year, and I can answer the phone and be like, "Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?" I mean,
that's right. And you'll hear the puns throughout the year.
They're
never like, "That's a ill-timed quote."
Yeah,
right?
What are you talking Christmas right now for? And it's like, "Oh, The Elf." Yeah,
but Home Alone's like that too.
Home Alone,
right? Like,
I often say, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Exactly,
yeah,
like, that's not like relegated to Christmas. So, Thanksgiving, we're at least watching Home Alone 1. Sometimes, if we're feeling crazy, we'll watch both 1 and 2.
Don't get crazy on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, 1 and 2 on Thanksgiving.
Man.
And then, so anyways, that's
as your
holiday movies.
All hyped up on tryptophan.
Put down your favorite holiday movie
We'd
in the comments.
Love to hear.
We'd love to hear. Christmas movie.
What should we add to our annual, or maybe it's one time.
Right. At least once, right?
Like there's some movies just you got to watch it, but don't watch it more
than
once.
Maybe it's not an so last movie thing. I do have annual Christmas time movies, but they're not even Christmas movies. So that for me is
that's a different
Sound of Music. It's just it starts to I don't know, maybe it's cuz it's like the Alps.
Maybe.
And
it's the winter.
And then A Few Good Men. I don't know why.
Totally not a Christmas movie. It's like
not a Christmas movie.
Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
But it's just like, hey, you know, there's extra time at home. This is
gonna watch A Few Good Men.
I'm gonna watch A Few Good Men.
Wow.
And I think the nostalgia is I watched that with my dad.
Yeah.
You know, there's the law.
I see that.
Procedural.
Again, the tradition, that sort of a thing. So. Good stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, what are we talking about today, guys?
Talking about the sermon.
We're talking about the sermon. Romans chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse
3 and 4.
3 and 4, yeah.
I really
screaming through chapter 3. We're going to come to a screeching halt when we get to about verse 20.
You've been saying that, Pastor
Dan. Just get ready for the breaks.
Okay. He's been warning us.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're doing the arm thing before the break, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to just put my arm right here.
As we do the breaks. But I got to host this upcoming, or this past weekend, I said it every time when I came back. I really just, that analogy just was so good.
The baking analogy.
The baking analogy.
Mix.
The mixing it in. I don't know if it was Shane, our graphics department put that as the background. That was a really cool background. Yeah,
you know, it's funny. Another aside on this. I know this isn't theological or anything like that, but I've often had people come to me and say, "Hey, the background was beautiful."
Yeah.
I mean, the Body Life series when we did Life of Jesus.
Those are really cool.
Someone was like, "You should make a coffee table book."
Yeah. There was so many
cool out of all the scenes and just put like a scripture because we were in it for over a year.
Yeah.
So you'd have 50 plus pages.
Beautiful colors.
Oh, man.
Images there, yeah.
And a lot of that's AI generated, you know, but we have a graphic artist named Shane that if you ever hear us talking about Shane, he's amazing. Yeah. And he's an artist in his own right.
Very talented.
He did the Sarah Silly Sock Day book, which some of our children's ministry volunteers and visitors have gotten when they come. Yeah, on Easter.
That's not even the newest one.
We just released, actually, for the church, and we're not selling them yet. Mm-hmm. We'll probably get them in the bookstore sometime, but will there be pirates?
Will there be pirates?
Yeah.
Dan Roth exclusive. That's cool. Illustrations by Shane Parker.
Yeah, by Shane Parker. Yeah, very Shane's cool. My guy, man. I love that guy. I've known him for over 20 years. He came in the Young Adults Ministry, and we said one of our goals was to get Shane to come to the Young Adults Ministry. And we succeeded. Yeah,
that's right. He was
so,
there.
Yeah, he was one of our success markers. You know, it's like,
very cool.
We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to win souls. We're going to get Shane to come. And so he came.
And you checked all those boxes.
We did.
Well, this past week, the baking analogy was so good because we're talking about, in the analogy kind of explained, you have the truth of God's word.
Yes.
And now we're mixing it into what it looks like us or putting faith to work, right?
Faith
it's,
in the mix,
it's one
yeah.
thing to have, and the analogy you gave for those who haven't watched the message yet or listened to the message yet was from the Great British Baking Show.
British Baking Show.
Which, and I love that, I mean, because that's true. Sometimes we,
Americans love an accent.
We like to hear a good old English accent.
Oh, yeah.
Refined and
the people are delightful on that show, too.
Yeah. And he said, I mean, even saying delightful is kind of British.
Yes.
Cheerio, you know, you do the whole and I really doubt people even speak this way, cheerio.
Actually, when I was over there, so there was a day that I forget where I was. I mean, I was in I don't remember if I was in Scotland or England at the time.
Right.
I think I was in Scotland. And we went to the same bakery every morning, would get fresh pastries and stuff.
Oh,
every morning, man. I literally ate my way across Europe when I was there. But yeah, there was a guy, and when I said goodbye, he said cheerio and walked, and I was like, you know, like I was a teenager at the time, but it was like we all
so
looked
is
at
cheerio like for like cheer having cheer. Is that what cheerio
I
is?
I don't know.
Or maybe if you know, write that on in the comments as well.
Educate us.
On
maybe
cheerio.
Maybe some of our viewers from England.
That's right.
Can tell us what it means.
That would be awesome. Hey, so let us know and how often it's used. Because if it was maybe Scotland or England, we're not sure.
Yeah, it might be regional.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we're saying it's British. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Scottish.
So that would be cool. But so we're you kind of referenced from the baking show, and you talked about this instance. Really, you have all the ingredients, and you're talking about if you don't mix in the proper
things. You got to mix it in. Yeah, so the analogy came that there was a lady on the show, and she was making a certain dessert, and she said at one point, "I know I had baking soda in my hand."
Yeah.
I can't remember if I mixed it in or not. And so she said, well, it's going to be proved after I bake.
Right.
If it rises, I know it's there. If it falls flat, I know it's not there.
Yeah.
And if it was me, I'd have put in more and ruined it.
Yes.
Worse than have it fall flat, because there is a 50-50 chance that you didn't put it in.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And now you wonder what too much, or is it raised too much versus not raising at all?
They said that. They said if you put too much, it'll like bubble over and, you know, it'll make a mess and this and that. So, I mean, you'd know.
Yeah.
But if it fell flat, that means you didn't. So I'd rather put it in.
I agree.
And have extra. And that's just me. That's where I gamble, you know. But
no, for sure.
But yeah, it turns out she didn't put it in. And the dessert fell flat. And so she got to redeem herself they call it the showstopper. So she put this cake together, did the same dessert. This time she's like making a concerted effort saying, here's the baking soda. It's going in the mix.
Yeah.
She mixed it in, and the cake was beautiful. And she did a great job with it. They loved the flavors. They loved how fluffy it was, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, that shows our lives. You know, wisdom is proven by her children.
Mm-hmm.
We say in our day and age, the proof is in the pudding, right? Mm-hmm. So here, we know whether or not we have faith in it, whether our life arises.
That's good.
Where God wants us to be, or whether it falls flat.
Yeah. Right.
But we got to mix faith in when we hear the word.
Yeah.
Because faith comes by hearing. Now, if we have faith available to, I know I had it in my hand, but did you mix it in?
Yeah. And I love that. I mean, because so many of us know the right thing to do.
Yeah.
A lot of us have grew up culturally around church. We even have some memory verses that we could quote, so on and so forth. But, and I love how what was missing was that activation ingredient.
Yeah, yeah.
For us in our lives, knowing facts and ideas, but when we put in faith, that is the activating
absolutely
element, ingredient for getting towards where we want to go. We all have things we want out of our lives that we're believing for in our lives that we'd like to see as fruit or outcome. And that missing element of faith for us is going to just, and that's why I love the analogy, because it just seems like such, and I'm, you know, man, my mind thinks very practically. And sometimes it's probably a bad thing, because I'm like, well, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Right. And
I think a lot of people are like
right,
that, though.
But
yeah.
Just like, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. And even something like faith is not something you can really check.
Yeah,
right?
Faith
is not really a checkbox for faith, other than like, okay, let me have faith. But there is an element of unknowing, right? I can.
Well, faith is the substance of things, right. So for the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
And I think that invisible aspect of it is, like you said, that unknown factor,
yeah.
The faith factor. There's been times where I've had to be checked.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember one time I was getting a lot of people saved in my altar calls, and I was doing everything word for word from what Pastor Jim was doing. I went to Pastor Jim. I said, what's going on? Like, yeah. I'm doing the same altar call you're doing. You're getting more people saved than I am. What's happening? And he was like, well, where's your faith?
Mm.
You're repeating words, but is there any faith behind it? And I had to check myself and be like, huh.
Right.
And so I was like, next time I did an altar call,
right.
I switched over from just saying words to looking at the people in the seats and saying, God, I want people to be saved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Faith would desire, God, I believe that there's someone here who needs to get saved. And God, I'm asking for their salvation. Mm-hmm. Also, more people start getting saved.
You know what that showed me, though, and even just what you said, sometimes we can put our faith in the process.
Sure.
Right? Like, if, you know, like,
rather than in God.
It's like, oh, I'm going to say these words and there's going to be a response. My faith is in.
And isn't that what Jesus said when he said, don't just pray rote prayers where it's just empty words or long prayers because they think they're going to be heard because of their many words? He's, you know, when you pray, go to your father in the closet, right? Shut the door. Don't let it be seen. Mm-hmm. There's a faith in God, not in words.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Well, and that way we're not works-based. That way we're not results-based.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes even in our results, it might not be what we were believing for. And then, oh, man, forget this. Like, I'm going to throw it all out.
Yeah.
Versus the learning and having faith that even in it not going the way I wanted, God still has something, right?
Yeah. Hebrews 11, where it talks about that these all died in faith, not having received the promise.
That's good.
But we're looking for something greater
and
a more enduring country, right? So, I mean, I think that's where for us, we don't think in those terms oftentimes. If I'm in faith, then I'm, you know, then I'm going to get it, whatever it is, you know. But it's like, but what about these died in faith? Believing and yet not receiving yet.
Right.
Faith is that focus of the promise, but it's in the one who promised.
Yep.
Right? And therefore, if God said it, we know it's going to be true. And whether I get it now or in the life to come, either way, God will never go back on his word. His promise is always true.
See, and that challenges our perspective.
Sure.
Because in a results-based culture or... I mean, unless I can post it, did it really happen?
If it ain't on the gram.
Then, you know, that really challenges us, because sometimes we are left believing, but we had faith for it and knowing that it worked out. I wanted to talk about one of the points. I know you went through, it had three different points. And I thought in the first one you talked about let every man be a liar. But specifically in point number two, which was judge him as right. You know, we had talked about how, again, I feel like we come with all of our predispositions, or even people full of faith. Sometimes we can come with it like, well, it worked, and it again, we make it the science part of it, or the ingredients to stay in the same idea. Like, I got it all here, but we miss an element. But when we judge God as true, and you talked about one of my favorite quotes of yours. It's not when you're saying it, it's not a quote. But one of the things I would say that you stand
that
by.
That I often say.
Right, that you often say that challenges me when I come to you, or challenges all my thinking, because you're just like, well, hey, people will say this or people will say that when it comes to our faith. And often, like, especially in these instances when it's against what God says.
Yeah.
That's easy, but... The statement, what's so, Pastor Dan, if I come to you like, hey, I think we need to do this because everyone else is doing that, or they all are telling me that we need to do this. What am I going to hear from you?
You're either going to hear who's everyone or who's they.
Yes. And I love, and the reason why I quote you so much in that is because we are very quick to speak in these absolutes.
Sure.
And almost, what is it called?
Generalities.
And, these generalities and hyperbole even of things to make our point.
Exaggeration.
Right.
Everyone's saying. They said.
And then
well,
you
they?
Have to really challenge this. And so when you say, who's it? Like, well, two people. Two people out of 20. You know, like.
Sure.
Two people out of, you know, everyone at our church, 15,000 people are saying, you know.
Right.
And it really goes, so now I really have to stand on, let God be true and judge him as right.
Yeah.
And not everyone else's opinions and our own thoughts. What does that look like for you in your life? How does that help dictate?
You know, there's been times where I think as far as, especially when we take a look at the people that speak into our lives. Mm. We allow people room in our lives to educate us, to guide us. Mm-hmm. And some of those things were set up by God. We know that all authority is given by God, right? So when there is a law and a lawgiver or, you know, something like that, we understand that those things are okay, right? You go this speed on the freeway. Well, you know, the Word of God doesn't tell you not to do that. It tells you to obey that, right? So here's things that are easy for us to do. Now, when the lawmakers start to go against what God says and start to tell us things that are contrary to the ways of God, now all of a sudden we've got to let God be true and every man a liar.
Yeah.
And we've got to judge God as right. And I think we've seen things, you know, this is a very practical one in the sense that in recent years, especially in California where we're at, we have lawmakers that are saying things that are contrary to the ways of God.
Right.
You know, and you could go into this when you take a look at things like, you know, what they deem as conversion therapy,
right?
You know, and I understand if someone's trying to change the way someone thinks through therapeutic means, they're saying that those things, they're trying to make those things in many ways illegal. Mm-hmm. Well, the implication then gets into, well, then is the Bible going to become illegal? Mm-hmm. Because what if somebody recognizes what God says and says that God is true?
Right.
Okay. And that if God says that homosexuality is sin, then I don't want to do that any longer.
Right.
What are my options? My options are to stop. My options are to change my thinking, right, to what God says.
Right.
And I can get married to someone of the opposite sex, have a meaningful marriage, and that sex is confined to that marriage covenant relationship. My other option is to be celibate.
Right.
And to just deny the flesh for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I believe that that's where when the Bible talks about specifically the eunuch and people that made themselves that way, I think that's more what that's talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So again, very practical, right? So if someone came to me and said, hey, I became a Christian, I realized what God's word has to say about this area of my life, I don't want to be in sin. Mm-hmm. And so can you share with me what the Bible says? Then if conversion therapy laws say that we cannot change someone's mind, then that all of a sudden made the Bible illegal.
Right.
And that's the extreme extent of this. But these are the things that we've had to fight on political levels and that sort of a thing with United Churches and even Bible colleges, things like that. But on that's on a greater scale, right? But on the individual scale, you've got people saying that lifestyles that the world approves of are okay.
Right.
Whereas, hey, wait, God has to say this. Well, the Bible's antiquated. Right there, you just didn't judge God as right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or culturally, well, it was different then than it is now.
They're all saying,
yeah, but now everyone's doing this, and that's the way society's gone. Well, hey, let God be true, and every man a liar.
Right.
You've got to judge God as right.
Yeah.
And if they're saying that marriage is an antiquated institution, that was one of the real-world examples we used in the message. You know, if people are saying it's no longer culturally relevant, you know, even things like money, right? Sometimes people don't touch my money. And you know, it's so hard to live in California or wherever you're from.
Yeah.
That, you know, when it comes to what God says he'll bless you. God says he'll take care of you and provide for you, that we shouldn't worry.
Right.
Right? We got to let God be true and judge him as right.
Yeah.
Rather than judging or thinking, man, I can't give. Right. Gosh, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if God says it, hey, he's going to back up his promise. Right. He's going to back up his word. That's where faith gets in the mix, right?
Yeah. No.
I don't see how it'll work.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it'll do it. In fact, the math sometimes doesn't add up, but God says to do it. So obedience is the faith action.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's the activator.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So obedience and giving, sowing into the church, giving your tithe, right? Even blessing others, right?
Right. Yep.
Casting your bread on the waters, you know, doing the things that God's word says to do, investments and hard work and all those things, stewardship, right? Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you're financially blessed because you simply obeyed the word. Not just one part of it, all of it.
Yeah.
And because you judge God as true, and then God backs up his word.
That's right.
Right? I love how Pastor Deborah in the King and His Kingdom class in our Bible college talks about how faith is the economy, right? Yes. It moves goods and services in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal when you really think about what we're talking about, because if we judge God as true and we say, hey, God's right in this area, then what we believe will move things into our lives and into the lives of the people around us.
Well, and so many times we allow these outside voices because either they're voices that we trust or family, people that we know care for us, but they're going to give us counsel or guidance, sometimes oppositional to the word of God.
Sure.
And sometimes not because out of malice, just because they don't know God's truth. So they're going to say, oh, conventional wisdom says this. And even the idea of conventional wisdom, often conventional wisdom isn't godly wisdom.
Right.
And so you have these outside voices, often from people we care and we know love us, that want your best for us. Even outside voices from social media to television media that are doing, and we saw it throughout the elections, regardless of what side you're on these things, you're going to hear a narrative of something that you like to hear anyways. But all of it is, what it's doing is it's giving you these things. And if we're not careful, these are informing our decisions versus the truth of God's word.
And that's where the book of James talks about two types of wisdom.
Yeah.
There's the godly wisdom that comes from above. It's peaceable. It's full of light.
Yeah.
Right, patient. I mean, there's some great descriptive words about the wisdom of God. And then there's the wisdom of this world.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people overlook it because it uses that it's sensual, it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people kind of skip, oh, well, I'm not listening to demons. Yeah. I'm listening to my mom.
Right.
You know, I'm not listening to demons. I'm listening to the lawmakers.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't realize that behind the expression. I'm not saying your mom's demon possessed, right? No, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get that clear. But there may be a demonic mindset that the devil's woven into this society, because the Bible says that this society is under the sway of the wicked one. Now, when you think about that, that's a lot more subtle than a demon speaking through someone, right?
Yeah.
If the devil can just get a little hint out there, just a little innuendo, just a little thought, something like that, that, well, you know, I mean, you guys should move in together.
Right.
Why get married so soon?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Save money.
Save money. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we're operating contrary to the ways of God because a little hint, a little sway of a system now pushed us into, well, it's okay.
Right. Or how about this wise in man's eyes? It sounds wise.
It sounds great.
Yeah. It sounds practical. It sounds, hey, that seems like a rational thought.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, here I am with my studies today. I don't know how this was accurate as of some years back, but the likeliness of what they found is people that move in together before marriage. Marriage is already 50-50, or was already kind of theoretically 50-50.
Sure.
Now you add another 50%. So 50% of the people who move in are 50% more likely to get a divorce.
Mm.
So you add on to it, but it seemed like conventional wisdom. How would I know how they're going to act in marriage? We need to do this. It seemed very practical, whether it be for money or whatever. And I think that's another idea. Let everything else be false.
Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, let's take a look at the married side of the people that do stay together.
Right.
Right? I believe, if I remember the studies that I read years ago correctly, that they're more happy, more fulfilled.
Right.
They live longer.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's just kind of crazy when you take a look at, okay, these people, this half of the marriages did something that was good in God's eyes.
Yes.
Whether they're Christian or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I would imagine many of them probably aren't.
Right.
And yet the proof is that their life rose.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
They lived longer, they were more happy, they're more fulfilled, all those things. Healthier, I think, in some ways. So and that's not to, you know, make the single people feel bad or anything like that. But just to show, I mean, you can live a very fulfilled, long, healthy single life if you do life God's ways. I believe that same blessing will be on you.
Right.
Because your life will rise.
Yeah. That's still a good question. I want to kind of, as we're closing today, the last one I think is, again, was the home run, because we're talking about now prove it with your life.
Yeah.
right? There's that course of action. All right, now we got our faith. Now let's live this out. We're proving it with our life, mm-hmm. that God's truth, and what this looks like. Now, again, I mean, I feel like maybe you can say that with a lot of messages. Now go prove it, right?
Sure.
Love God, love others. No, go prove it. But specifically from this perspective, from these scriptures, what are we talking about here? Now go prove it with your life.
Well, I think, like we said, the studies, you know, they proved mm-hmm. something that we knew from the Word of God before.
Yeah.
And the proof is not like, well, I'm going to show you. Yeah. The proof is more that it's, if you sow a seed, mm-hmm. the fruit that's going to come out of it is yeah. what was sown into the ground. Mm-hmm. The proof is really to show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, in the life of a believer, when we've got faith in the mix, our life yeah. is going to prove what's mm-hmm. on the inside of us, whether yep. we have faith or not. And that's where, if you watch the lives of people in church and Christians and people who are supposed believers, mm-hmm. you'll know who really believes and who doesn't believe,
right.
because their life will prove that mm-hmm. to you. You know, you can listen to a person's words. Mm-hmm. Abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? You know what's in their heart by what's coming out of their mouth. Whatever fruit is produced, you're going to find out what was on the inside.
Yeah,
and that's where faith comes in, because faith without works is dead, mm-hmm. right? Faith with works is living and active.
Right.
We understand that. So, what did James say? He said, you show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works.
Yep.
And so there is a place for the works of what we believe is going to be seen in what we do mm-hmm. and what we produce.
Yep.
So that's where, you know, believers, you'll know if they believe in tithing, how? Right. There's going to be a bank statement.
Yep.
You'll know if they believe in the institution of marriage
right.
because there'll be a wedding.
Yeah.
You'll know if they believe in disciplining their children.
Yeah.
Because you'll see them, yeah. right? Hey, we don't talk like that.
Yeah.
If you keep that up, there's yeah. going to be consequences. You know, right. there will be things that they discipline, right? You'll know what they believe. You'll know if they believe in witnessing.
Yeah.
How? Because there will be somebody that's in church. Man, they were talking to me at our job. We worked together, and I just, you know, was having a hard time, and they came and prayed for me, and they shared the gospel with me. I got saved, and so I'm here now. You know, you'll see what they believe in.
Yeah.
Do they believe in baptism? Are they baptized?
Come on.
Do they believe in the Holy Spirit? Are they baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are they flowing in the gifts that God has given them?
Yeah.
No, that's not to say that those are all salvation, you know, level experiences right. and things like right. that. There's some very wonderful Christians and believers that don't believe in the gifts mm-hmm. of the Spirit.
Right.
And we love them. We bless them. We're not divided from them.
Yeah.
We have a disagreement on what the scriptures say.
Yeah.
And when it's for.
Yeah.
You know, and who it's for, I guess,
yeah.
for some. But at the same time, though, you can see whether or not they believe it by what's being produced in their life.
Yeah. No, I mean, and again, kind of going back to that, this analogy, it's when we all see if we mixed in faith when it comes out of the oven.
That's right.
And it's flat, or if it's risen, it and rises, it's moist, yeah. and it's abundant. And sometimes these things are case by case.
Sure.
Because we're all on this journey. There's going to be things that we approach. And we didn't have the right faith. We didn't have the right motive. We didn't do the
yeah.
right thing. We didn't put the right mixture of faith, and we need to correct it. Okay, like with the altar call with Pastor Jim, like, hey, where's your faith at for this?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, let me be intentional about believing for what we're doing.
I got to make a change.
I think that's the encouragement for all of us. It's not like, did you put in faith, you know, whereas like you lived your life, if you didn't put in faith 2 years ago, well, your life's going to come out and there's... There's hope all the time. Mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
Every time we approach, every decision we're making, we can include faith into what we're doing, putting faith in the mix.
Yeah. I think the great thing for all of us, you know, even our online viewers and listeners, is that, you know, we use the illustration of Abraham and Sarah when they laughed, right?
Yeah.
The neat thing is that in the New Testament, when you read about Abraham and Sarah, you don't read about them laughing.
Right.
It says that they didn't waver
mm-hmm.
in faith.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we say, oh, man, I messed up. I doubted, or I had a moment of weakness, or, you know, I got angry. I got frustrated, or I was impatient, and mm-hmm. so I gave up.
Mm-hmm.
History doesn't record a lot of that.
Yeah.
What does history record? The God side of things.
Yeah.
The faith side of things.
Right.
And I love that redemptive fact. You know, even when you take a look at we don't have time to speak about David and Jephthah and Samson.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Because if we had time on this podcast to talk about them, we could recount a lot of their
yeah.
errors.
Right.
And a lot of the negative things that took mm-hmm. place. But faith records
yeah.
what we believe God for and what rose.
That's so good.
And I think that's the encouragement for all of us is that, hey, don't give up. You know, keep going. Let your life prove what you believe. But believe.
That's good.
Right? You know, like doubt your doubts. Yeah. Believe your beliefs. Like what you see in the Bible is true. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Right.
And judge God as right. You know what? God's way is right.
Right.
And as you do that, it's going to come out of your life. It will be produced. And, yeah. and history in heaven will record that.
That's powerful, Pastor Dan, because I think it makes me think, like, in the edit of Abraham's life.
Yeah.
Right? In the video montage, you're not going to see the laugh. Like, you're going to see when he saw, when he had faith for it, when it was counted to him as righteousness, when he believed, and then you'll see the fruit of it, right? Like, that's the montage you'll see. And not to say that those things didn't happen and they're not real, but in the like you're saying, the recording.
Yeah.
Is our victory in the recording.
And I believe that'll be our lives too, right? There will be things that'll be burned up, obviously, with our works and things that we did.
Yeah.
And sin is covered on the cross, right? That's been wiped out.
Yep.
But in that edit of our lives,
yeah,
there's an amazing highlight reel.
Amen.
And, you know, so a lot of times we focus on the, you know, the fumbles and the follies.
Yeah.
But really, God has a highlight reel of you catching it and running it into the end zone.
Yeah. That's
it's also football season, so we're also kind of running with those illustrations too.
And you know, that's the you know, I was thinking about the same thing, right? That it was a W, even if it's an ugly W, it's still a W.
Still a W.
Because, man, I think that for our listeners, for all of us, that is very encouraging. That I don't have to get caught up in a defeat, in a loss, in a letdown. I didn't have faith. I messed up there. I it was all there, and I didn't mix it in.
Yeah, get it back in the mix. Yeah,
come on, that's good. Well, so what do we got? Do we get a preview of next week? What are we looking at?
You know,
at here?
this coming couple of verses. Read ahead. It's getting real.
Come on.
There's some questions. So you know, there's still more questions.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul's asking questions. There's some. It's like we said, the lawyer illustration. Yeah, he's asking some more questions.
He's making his case.
There's some people on the stand right now.
Yeah.
And like a lawyer, he's coming after him. And so there's some really good, I can't get into it because we're already over. We need to stop. But okay, just read ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 5 on. It's going to get real.
Hey, again, we love you. Continue to comment. Ask those questions. We love you guys. Be encouraged. God bless you.